Stand together and we'll sing Crown Him. Note that it is the Christmas version. Watch those words and sing out with joy, sing loudly as we crown Him with many crowns.
On the hope, peace, love, and joy we have because Jesus is the light of the world.
700 years before Jesus was born, God gave the prophet Isaiah the promise of a coming Savior. The promise came at a time of darkness, and this promise was a source of hope for God's people.
Isaiah spoke these words: "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine." The promise he gave them was that a light will come, and today we celebrate that the light has come.
In John 1, we hear the fulfillment of that promise. Jesus said in John 8, 1, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you will not have to walk in darkness, because you have the light that leads to life."
As Christians, we need to walk in the light so that the darkness will not overtake us. Jesus said, "Put your trust in the light while there is still time. Then you will become children of the light."
In Ephesians 5:8, we are told to walk as children of light. As Christ followers, we are to give and be light. Jesus told us, his followers, to, quote, "Let your light shine before others," end quote.
In all circumstances, we have an opportunity to shine brightly to the Lord and to share God's light and truth with those around us. Our families and communities can tell what we believe by how we live. Illuminate this light to our surrounding with His love and life.
As Christian believers, we are assured that no matter how dark it becomes around us, God will faithfully provide the illumination of His Spirit. God's Word is a light that shines in a dark place until the morning star comes again at His second advent.
Consider how His light broke into the darkness and brought light into the darkest places. Mirror the light of Jesus and reflect it into the shadows of the dark world we live in. Walk as children of the light, shining brightly for Him this up and coming year.
Oh, yeah. Our sin and into your glory. Thank you for being our Savior. Lord, may we give willingly, cheerfully, and Lord, may you bless everything that comes from us to you. In Jesus' name.
Thank God. Alyssa and Maddie did some last week, two weeks ago, and a little bit different version, but we recognize the tune. Well, let's stand together and sing. If I start singing some blues, don't get shocked, but it's just hard to resist on some of this. So let's sing together, Away in a Manger.
My pain, joys and sorrows that I know so.
Psalm 90, prayer of Moses, the man of God. Let's look to the Lord in prayer before we read his word. Father, we do just pause to praise you again for giving us your word, your precepts, and language that we can understand. And Father, we just pray that as we close the books on another year, and we open a page to a new one, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 90. Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They're like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, and in the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands.
I don't know if you could kind of catch the drift of the songs we've been singing today. They kind of reflect on the thought of forever. You know, and how appropriate that is today as we sign out the last day of this year, as we think about that, as we think about, in one sense, we're at the pinnacle or the highest precept of the year. We've been building up and up and up to this day, and then we start all over again. Or you could say we started here and went down, you know, but whatever, however you way you want to look at it, it's, you know, it's just something that we celebrate. And we look at it, and we do it based on our calendar that we have, you know. We use the Gregorian calendar, and over time there's been different calendars. But the thing is, no matter what calendar we use, time goes on and on and on and on, day after day after day. And we live, you know. And so as we think about this psalm of Moses, you know, I think about how Moses never did get a chance to enter into the promised land, you know, and there's a lot of reasons for that, but actually there's one reason for his rebellion and the striking of the rock. But the question is, did he ever enter glory? And I would have to say yes, he did. We know that for a fact, because we see him the next time we see Moses, he's at the transfiguration of Jesus, and he shows up, and he's there with Elijah. And so did he enter the promised land? Well, not the physical land, but he did enter the glory land of heaven, and so will we too someday, you know. And that's the way life goes. We just move on and on and on. And so what we do is we have to ask ourselves this question: how do we live our life today? You know, what is today? How do we live today? How did we live yesterday? How will we live today? And how will we live on into the future? What is it that helps us to press on, to continue on serving God, our Savior, and our Lord Jesus Christ? And it's really not necessarily our traditions. And we do have traditions. We all have traditions, family traditions, church traditions. We do have those things. And there seems to be a repetition of that. You know, we have what we call the Christian calendar that goes through. We go through, and actually about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I was trying to, well, no, I was more like 6 weeks ago, now I think about it. I was wrestling over what are we going to go through this year? You know what? You know, it's one of the pastor's thing with a pastor. You've got to determine, okay, what are we going to cover this year? What have I not covered in the past? And you know, over the last 20 years, I'd have to say, well, I've probably covered it over and over and over and over again, you know. But it's a story that never gets old. And so, and we started looking, and actually what helped me out was somebody, and I don't remember who it was, it might have been Karen or somebody, sent me a song. It was called In the Fullness of Time. And so I thought, okay, I'll listen to it. And I listened to it. I thought, oh, what a great message. And I said, where's that from? That's from Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. And so I began the series back in the beginning of December, the first week of December, going through a series on In the Fullness of Time from Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, from the song that we got. And last week, Jack and Steve and I, we sang that as a trio last week. And I'm just going to reflect back on the words of that fullness of time, because it is a reflection of time. And today is a day we think about time, because we pass from here to now, from the now until next year. So here are the words from that song again. In the fullness of time, God sent his son, Emmanuel. Now behold, incarnate love, a virgin and her child, a savior, meek and mild. The star became the sign in the fullness of time. The second verse was, prophets long before they promised dawn, hail God of God, light of lights, begotten one, by whom all things were made, there in a manger laid, now born to us this night in the fullness of time. And then the third verse reflects on the announcement of his birth. Hosts of the angels resounded at his birth, and hosts of angels will endless tell his worth. And he shall come again, his kingdom no end, reflecting on the forever, all things made new, made right in the fullness of time. Holy, holy, holy moment. God has come to dwell with us. Glory to the Lamb, the great I am who came on that night divine. When? In the fullness of time. So as we reflect on that song and the words of that song, it takes us through a message, something that we need to remember, that time is in God's hands. God controls time. I mean, and as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about today. Today is the day that stands between yesterday and tomorrow. And tomorrow, today will be yesterday and tomorrow. And it just goes through that cycle, evening and morning, evening and morning. And we go through that cycle. Tomorrow is New Year. Yesterday, the old year. Tomorrow is not yesterday. Yesterday is not tomorrow. They are what they are. They are what they are in their fullest sense. Yesterday is always yesterday. Tomorrow will always be tomorrow in its fullest sense. They are never to be confounded or discomposed or invalidated. Yesterday is fully yesterday. Tomorrow is fully tomorrow. And today is fully today. Today is the fullness of time. Today is the fullness of time. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, we're encouraged to look at today. It says here in chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, this is the author of Hebrews encouraging us based on the fact that Jesus is greater than Moses. He says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness. So the author of Hebrews is reflecting back on Moses. He's reflecting back on the nation of Israel while they were wandering through the wilderness. And he says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart today as it was back then on the day of testing in the wilderness where your fathers put me to test and saw my work for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation. I said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rests. If we think about that, when we think about how the nation of Israel rebelled, which causes us to reflect and think, how do I look at today? What does my today look like? What does my tomorrow look like? Man, I tell you what, as we enter this new year, we have no idea what's going to happen. We have plans, we have ideas of what we want to achieve, our goals and things that we want to do. We want to go through life and we want to make some plans, but we have absolutely no certainty of what's going to happen. We're finite, but God is infinite. He's always. He's yesterday. He's today. Forever. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the fact that we can come before you now as we look at these texts, as we're reminded of what it means to live in a world that is governed by time. As we look at that, as we reflect on that, on this particular time of the year, as we end this cycle and enter into a new cycle, yet time is in your hands. Lord, we pray that we would redeem your time, we would use your time rightly, and that as we look into these texts, that we would be encouraged by the fact that you are a God who stands outside of time, yet entered into time in order to redeem us, people like us. And as we come to you now, may we reflect on that. May we hear your voice. May we hear you speak to us through your word as the Holy Spirit speaks to us. We praise you for it. In Christ's precious name, amen. Psalm 90. Psalm 90. I chose this psalm because it causes us to reflect on three things, and I think it would be helpful for us to reflect on three things today. Number one, the number one thing we ought to reflect on is, who is God in regard, in relationship to time? Who is God in relationship to time? He's the creator of time. He's the maker of time. And then number two, we are caused to look at ourselves in this particular time. But not only in this time of when God created, when he created Adam and Eve, but also as humanity in our own sinfulness. And then thirdly, our need and our call and petition for God's grace. So there's three things that we can see in this psalm. That's what I want to look for today. I want to look for us, to look at these three particular things. We want to see, what is this? What does Moses have to say about God here? And as I go through this, and as I looked through this, I studied it, what I was hearing was an echo. I was hearing an echo in this psalm of God speaking to us through the book of Genesis, specifically chapters 1 through 9, about Moses telling us about God creating the world and in the way it was, and all the way up until the flood, and all of that in his judgment. So let's just look at this psalm one more time. Let's look through it, and let's see what God has for us in this particular psalm. For what does he want us to see when it comes to time? Verse 1, Lord, Lord. This is Moses. Moses, this is called a prayer of Moses. It's been understood that this is a prayer of Moses, and we got to think, when was Moses writing this? He was writing this while they were in the wilderness. He was raised in Egypt, remember? He went off to Midian. He was called by God to go back to Egypt to take the nation of Israel out, to bring them out of the land of Egypt in their exodus. And now they're in the wilderness and they're dwelling. And what happened in the wilderness and the dwelling? While they were dwelling in the wilderness, they went to Mount Sinai. And what happened there? We have the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch. We have the five books of Moses. But he wasn't done writing. He wanted to do some reflecting. He was reflecting on God. He was reflecting on himself. He was reflecting on his people and their sinfulness. And then he was reflecting on the hope that God has given to them in a Redeemer. And so as we look at this, Moses says, Lord, Yahweh, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. And so Moses is looking back over time, thinking back through the genealogies and how God has been the protector of his seed for all of these years, for all generations. And he's calling to mind, you have been our dwelling place. You, another version says, you have been our refuge. Refuge. Our safe place. We can run to you. We can go to you. That's what Moses is calling on. He's saying, he's acknowledging who God is. He's our dwelling place. You've been our dwelling place. You've been with us. You are our Emmanuel in all generations. And then he goes into reflecting back on the book of Genesis. Before the mountains were brought forth, Before these majestic mountains were brought into being and the land had been made and the water of the sea, before you formed them, ever you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. In our scripture memory verse today, when we talk about, okay, well, let's ask the question, who's God? Who's God? Well, he calls him Lord here. But in the author of Hebrews, he says in chapter 13, verse 8, which is our scripture memory verse today, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What we're seeing here is Jesus being associated with this Lord. Jesus is our Lord. He's existed from everlasting to everlasting. Can you imagine that? I mean, actually, when you think about it, actually, we had a scripture verse up on the screen there. I'm going to bring it up real quickly here. It's in Jude, the last book before the book of Revelation, in Jude, verse 25. It says here, to the only God, this is acknowledgement. Okay, it's up there. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory and majesty, dominion and authority. How long? Before all time, and now, and forever. So we're encouraged by Jude to reflect on who Jesus is. He's eternal. He's always existed. Now this is from Jude. Jude was his brother, his half-brother. And here's Jude reflecting on back on his brother who he was raised with and saw him. And I would say he saw his warts, but there were no warts. Jesus had no warts in that sense of being a sinner. Jude's reflecting on him saying, I know exactly who he is. He's the Lord. So the question is, and one of the things we want to see is, who's God? The Bible is revealing to us in the scriptures that he is forever and ever, everlasting. He's everlasting God. And we see that in Isaiah chapter 51, that he is the everlasting God. So it would behoove us to reflect on this year, every day. Not just, I did that yesterday, or I'll do it tomorrow. Today, every day. Today, reflect on the fact of who Jesus is. It's vitally important to you reflect on that, to remember him. We are constantly encouraged in the scriptures to remember, remember, remember. Don't forget, Jesus is God. But also, don't forget, you know, that we're sinners. And that's where he goes into verse 3. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. And he reminds us and keeps us and puts us in our place. And reminds us that, you know what? We are finite. We live day to day to day. We live this day, and then this day ends. We go to the next day, and this day ends, and then it goes on. And it's cyclical. And we have to ask ourselves and remind ourselves every day. Why do we need to be reminded? Because we forget. Do we really forget that Jesus, you know? But I think, yeah, I don't think we actually forget him, but we might forget him in how we live our lives. So the encouragement is to how we live our lives here, knowing that we will return to dust, and we will have to answer to this eternal God. And then it goes on to remind us about God again, for 1,000 years in your sight, our buddy yesterday, when it is past, or as a watch in the night. As the night passes, three watches in the night, just a short time. Life is brief. There's brevity of life, 1,000 years in his sight, but a fraction for us. We can't even imagine that. Then he says of regarding sinners, you sweep them away as with a flood. And I think it's a remembrance of what God did in judgment. Moses is remembering back as he wrote in the book of Genesis about how God had judged the world in a flood. He says, you swept them away like a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes, and the heat comes and it is renewed, and in the evening it fades and withers. It wilts. You ever cut some flowers? Let's take them and put them in a vase. I remember this summer, Olivia went out in the yard and they got this nice flowers growing out there, and I was looking at them. Oh, perfect. And the next thing I know, they're in her hand walking in the house to give them to grandma. Okay? So we put them in a vase, we put them there. But you know, it was just a few days later, what happened? They withered. We tried to keep them alive as long as we possibly could. That's life. That's what Moses is reminding us of. Don't lose sight of our temporality. Don't lose sight that we are living in the now. We are living today. Verse 7. It sounds like a downer. And for we are brought to an end by your anger. And the thing is, we are brought to an end. Why is this? Why are we in this cycle? Because of God's wrath. God's judging wrath. By your wrath, we are dismayed. And I have to ask myself, how dismayed are we? How dismayed are we? Are we brought to our knees and saying, oh my goodness, how have I sinned against you and fall? That's the emphasis here. We are to evaluate and look at the fact that God is a wrathful God. And I talked about that several weeks ago. How there's a place set aside for sinners. You have set our iniquities before you. He knows everything we do. He knows all of our sins. We can't hide anything from him. Nothing is kept secret from God. Even our secret sins. Even the secret sins. Those are the ones that we don't want anybody to know. The other ones, like, oh, yeah, okay, people know, I'm a sinner. Hey, I'm a sinner. What about the things that's going on inside of your heart? I'm the only one that knows. God knows. Our sins, our iniquities are ever before him. Our secrets, well, they're in the light of his presence. He knows exactly who we are. And then Moses tells, reminds us, for all our days pass away under your wrath. We get into this cycle. We live. But the thing is, we don't know how long that cycle is. We are entering into a new year, and we have absolutely no idea who will be here next year. Throughout this year, we don't know. The uncertainties of life demands us to reflect on the eternality of God and our own relationship with him through Christ Jesus. So consider, verse 11, who consider the power of his anger and his wrath according to the fear of him. And it's actually a question. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? I mean, that's an encouragement for us to fear God with a reverential fear of awe and delight and joy. And we ask how we are to see him, but also understand that he's a wrathful God. So those are two things that God wants us to see. He wants us to see that he is sovereign, glorious, eternal God. And we see that in Jesus Christ. He also wants us to see that we're sinners. And that we are in desperate need of something that only God can provide. We can't do anything about this. It's God who calls us to account. Verse 12. We see who God is. Eternal. We see who we are, not eternal. We see the brevity of life. And then verse 14 is the plea or the petition of Moses. So teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. Now, what that doesn't mean is, okay, this is day number 5,762 day of my life. That's not what he means. He doesn't mean, okay, this is day one, day two, day three. We count them. God looks at them. He knows them. He sees them from eternity. So we are encouraged to number our days in the sense that we are to evaluate how we live them every day. Wake up in the morning. Look to Christ. Look to God. Thank him for another day. Walk your day through trusting in him, depending on him, living for him, being loyal to him. And then at the end of the day, reflecting back on your life, and if you see something that was wrong and needed correction, repenting and turning and trusting in him. And this is a request. I'm not telling you to do this on your own. We need to be taught this. We need to be told how to do this. So teach us to number our days. Why? So that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The opposite of wisdom is folly. Folly. Living our life, our frail life, in a way that is just plain folly. Why would you do that? Why would you live your life this way? What are you doing? Rather than looking at it and saying, I want to live a life that's built on wisdom. So teach us to number our days so that we may get a heart of wisdom, that we might see the words of God and that we might live the words of God every day of our life. That's what I'm leading us into this week, this year, this month, this year, as we look ahead into a brand new year. Teach us to number our days. And this is a message to me too. It's a reminder for me to number my days. And then there's the call to say, I can't do this. I can't do this on my own. I need you. Return, O God. Return, O Lord. How long? We can hear a voice, an air of frustration in that, and that's what happens. And almost it sounds like Solomon, in a sense, when we listen to the book of Ecclesiastes about life. And here we have Moses sounding like Solomon here, saying, return, O Lord, how long? But when you return, have pity. Have pity. See me in my, as the song says, my mean estate. Have pity on your servants. Have pity on your servants. What's a servant? It's just somebody who has committed their life to God and lived their life for God because of who he is and because of what he's done and bringing salvation to us, having had pity on us. Verse 14, he says, satisfy us. Help us to be satisfied in the morning with your steadfast love, remembering his steadfast love, his chesed love. It's his special, loyal love that he's poured out onto us, to his people. Don't forget me, he says, that we might be satisfied in the morning with his great love. That, and he builds on that steadfast love by saying that we may rejoice and be glad. How long? All our days. All our days. Every day we have left. The days that we're numbering, every day we have left, we are to be numbering them and rejoicing and being glad in those days because of who we know God to be. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us. There are times we look and we say, our life has been afflicted. Equal those things and pour out your love to me and your love to overwhelm my afflictions. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us. And for as many years as we have seen evil. How many years have we seen evil? Every year. We see evil every single year. We live in a world that's evil. We see a world that's fallen, that's broken, that needs salvation. We live in a world that needs to rejoice and be glad in Christ and in God. But you know what? They don't. And they're trying on their own to do this on their own. Trying to live life in their own abilities. But we're servants. We don't do that. Lord, let your work be shown to your servant. Let your work be shown to your servant. What's his work? It's his work of redemption. It's his work of redeeming a people back into himself. And as we look back, for Moses, he's looking forward to the promise that God had made that he would send a redeemer. We're looking back at the fact that Christ did come as our redeemer. Let your work be shown to your servant. Help us to see. Open our eyes. Let the light shine in our hearts that we might see Christ for who he is. And your glorious power. What power? Resurrecting power. Resurrection power. The power that Christ gave to us to raise Christ from the dead. To their children, which is a promise to us that someday we too will be resurrected. It says, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Let the favor of the Lord, let your mercy pour out onto us. Give us grace. That's what this is a call for. God, pour out your grace on us. What I want for us this year is that God would pour his grace out on us. We don't know what God has planned. I have no idea what God has planned for my life, your life, the life of this church. I don't know. I know that we have desires and we have a plan that we want to pursue and head forward into this new year as we're heading. I don't know where it's going to go, though. But he does. And I can rest in that. And I can trust in that. I can trust that he will establish the work of his hands. He is the one who will establish the work of our hands. Pour out your grace. Establish the work of your hands on us. And then he repeats it. Why would Moses repeat that? Because it's important. It's repeated because he says that we can work hard and hard and hard to try to establish our way and make our life meaningful, make our life have purpose. But if we do that without God, and if we do that without Christ, well, it's not going to work. We'll finish with this. What kind of work can we ask God to establish? If this is so important that we want God to establish the work of our hands, that he's the one that's building it, when we talk about establishing something, it means it has to do with building on something, the foundation, it's established and it's grown and it builds up. What is it that we want him to do in our life? What kind of work can we ask God to establish? Studying this, I was reading Charles Spurgeon, and he says this: if the work be evil, God cannot establish it. He cannot establish it. He will not establish it. Jesus Christ has been revealed to destroy all the works of the devil, and when he is destroying the works of the devil, he will destroy all the works that have been wrought by men possessed by the spirit of evil. If our works are evil, don't count on God to bless you. Or establish your work. Number two, God will never establish the works, our works, if they are intended to rival the works of his Son. Some people work very hard in trying to make a righteousness of their own, trying to be self-righteous. But if they could achieve their purpose, then they would be independent of a Savior. Self-righteousness is the direst of insults to the Son of God. Don't try to establish your work outside of Christ. He finished it on the cross. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son. And Spurgeon says, may we ask God to establish the ordinary works and engagements of our duty of life? Can we ask him to just establish the things that I want to do in my daily life as I pursue my life? Can we do that? Is it good to do that? And he says, yes, assuredly we may. If we're a servant of God and have learned to eat and drink of his glory, whether you eat or drink, do it unto the glory of God. God will only establish our work if we're doing it for him and by him and through him, and eating and drinking because of who he is, for his glory. So we ask for these things in faith. We ask for them because anything that's not done in faith is useless. So we ask in faith. We ask in hope that God hears us. And we ask in prayer, which is dependency. In genuine confession and true repentance of our self-evaluation of who we are, as we number our days and we look at them and say, Lord, I failed. And he establishes our work by our confession and saying, Lord, forgive me. And by believing that whatever may come is good and is for his glory. Why? Well, because he's good. And because he's eternal. And he knows all, and he's coming again. He's going to come again. I don't know if he's coming this year. I don't know if he's coming tomorrow. I don't know when he's coming. All I know is I'm looking forward to him. He's coming. And there are people who say they're ready, but are they really? Are they trusting in Jesus? He established the world. He established righteousness. He applied it to us as Christians. The Holy Spirit has come and changed us and transferred us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. So let us live every day. As we cross over the threshold of time at midnight tonight, as the ball drops, and at the Reese House as we digest our pizzas that we eat tonight, whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, or whatever we do, do it to the glory of God. Each and every day. Can't change yesterday, but you can work on today, looking forward to the future, for everlasting to everlasting. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we know that Moses, your servant, was in the wilderness echoing the same kinds of thoughts that we have to his people who were wandering, who had disobeyed and had no hope of entering that rest of the nation, of the land of Israel. But Lord, we know that there was a promise made and that promise was fulfilled. And we know that Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise to demonstrate to us the perfection of who you are in God, in Christ. So Lord, we echo the words of Paul in the fullness of time. The Father sent the Son to save us from the law, the Lord, the law of sin and death, to redeem us unto yourself, Lord, to a people who are hope in hope of a great and glorious inheritance in heaven, to be with you and see you forever and ever and ever, to glory in your name, to glory in your love to us, to glory in your Savior who went to the cross and gave his life for us. That one day, which has eternal effect in the fullness of time, fill us with your love. Fill us with your goodness. Fill us with a mind that numbers our days and evaluates how and why we live, to give us hope, give us a reason for living, and give us purpose to bring honor and glory to you. Help us never forget. Establish the work of our hands. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me as we sing, Joy to the World, the Lord is come.
To you as we begin a new year. And Father, help us again just to ponder what we've heard this morning, to just kind of review Psalm 90, to be thankful for the work you did in Moses' life, and look forward to the day when somehow we'll be with him in glory. Just pray you encourage us this day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.